This is Rod Peterson on Demand. Now,
under the little old quarterback from Pasadena. Let's bring him in. Look at VA. We got him. We got him.
Yeah, man, you know, I was watching a couple of your shows last night. I was like, man, Rod has a desk set up. I don't have a desk yet, but, you know, had all his stuff on there. You know, I got, just got a little setup, man. That's all we got.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
It is, and we're live, and we're on the air in hour two of the RP Show, Canada's daytime sports talk show, coming to you from the sweatpants capital out here. We're in the bunker. Although Rems is dressed up well, as he always is, the Silver Fox. How are you doing, Rems?
Nice and cozy warm.
I got to say, I'm excited because we got a full 40 minutes of just me and Rems. Did they tell you that? You don't have to go anywhere, do you?
No, I don't. I'm here till whenever you need me.
Great.
Noon, I guess.
And then Justin Dunk will join us at the 40-minute mark past the hour with what his take is on the latest in the CFL. We do have, and some people are excited, we have a trade. Get past my face unlock here on my iPhone. From the Regina Pats. Regina Pats Hockey Club announcing they've acquired 18-year-old defenseman Tom Cadieu from the Tri-City Americans in exchange for a third-round pick in 2023 and a conditional seventh-round pick in 2023. So there's news there. From the NFL, Tua Tagovailoa will start the Week 7 game for the Miami Dolphins. They don't really understand why, because Ryan Fitzmagic led him to a rout of the Jets in Week 6, but maybe Dunk will have some thoughts on that. So that's kind of what's gone down today. People are writing in with their thoughts at Ambrosi, and I darn sure got a lot of thoughts to get from Rems. But let's re-up on the Quick 6 show topics, please, Jordan. Number one, Monday Night Football. It was the worst home loss in Cowboys history in the new place. Last night, 38-10 to the Arizona Cardinals, and they deserved every bit of it. Cowboys were awful. And Kansas City in the early game routed Buffalo 26-17. Don't look now. The Bills have lost two in a row. The clock has struck midnight, I believe, on the Cinderella Buffalo Bills. Point two, the Winnipeg Jets and Patrick Laine. I say get rid of him. He doesn't want to be there. You got to get rid of a guy like that. And you should be able to get something back pretty good, too. Point three, Randy Ambrosi has threatened $25,000 fines to anybody leaking league info from the group of owners, governors, presidents. That according to Arash Madani. Point four, Canada's schedule has been released for the World Juniors. It's the usual Boxing Day against Germany, New Year's Eve against Finland. Same dates, different teams. Wake me up for the final. Point five, should Connor Bedard play for Canada at the World Juniors? He's 15 years old, exceptional player status. He's playing in Sweden right now. I say yeah. Dupe says no. Rems will break the tie. And point six, the World Series opens tonight with game one, Tampa Bay versus the Dodgers in Arlington, Texas, and I know that I'll be watching. Okay, here he is, former WWF promoter, Bret Hart's manager, junior hockey aficionado, broadcast salesman, restaurant owner, all-around good guy.
What a resume.
Did I miss anything? No wonder your hair's white.
Football, RMF football coach.
There you go. Of all those things, you said you needed to get caught up on everything. Does that give you a bit of a catch-up?
Sure. Well, I can spin my tires through some of those topics.
What jumps at you most?
What jumps at me most? I'm not sure we even necessarily was one of those five, but sure. I was told when we were to come here today, I might want to give some thoughts on the WHL coming back.
Sure.
As you know, Rod, there is very few things closer to my heart than junior hockey.
Yep.
Same here. Because you're one of those guys, too. So that's one of the things that's brought us together over the years as friends, is that we're two of the few sports fans in the city that probably get a little bit ridered out. And I hate to say that because I love the Riders, too. But
more than you'd think.
Yeah, well, but I just think that sometimes that the WHL flies under the radar a little bit, at least till the season's over. I love junior hockey. I have to tell you, Rod, with mixed emotions on all of this. I mean, on one hand, I couldn't be any more excited that they're going to play, or at least they're preparing to play in January. Nothing could make me happier than that. It's a void in my life, no doubt about it.
I feel like there's a but coming.
There is. What I ask myself, though, is if there's teams all over the landscape, okay, in professional sports. And I know people are going to say, well, yeah, but this isn't a professional sport. True, but it operates like a professional sport.
People make their livings from it.
And it's Boom. Operated like a professional
sport. But to me, that's my definition. If you're making your living from this, it's a pro sport.
It is. Junior A, as an example, also makes a living from it, but it doesn't run like an American
True.
Hockey League
okay.
team.
Okay? True.
So if NBA, Major League Baseball, National Hockey League, National Football League, nobody is going to come out of this COVID without losing their shirt. Even though, you know, it's great to have it back. These are, for the most part, I think we'd agree, billionaire owners that can afford to lose
whoa, whoa, in those big leagues.
In those big leagues.
Because some of the junior owners are billionaires, too. So I just wanted to clarify.
Very few.
But there are some.
But there are
some. I just want to clarify that.
There are some. They certainly aren't in Swift Current. They certainly aren't in Moose Jaw. They certainly aren't in Prince Albert. And I would argue that even, you know, the Regina ownership group with, you know, the Anthony Marquardt's and, you know, Sean Semple, he's got some money for sure. So do, you know, the Priestner family. So does Daryl Mazur. So do a lot of
Jacobson's now in Brandon, obviously.
Yeah. And these people have lots and lots. I mean, they're not billionaires, but they have lots of money. But they can't afford, and I don't believe want to lose, you know, seven digits. That's real money for ownership groups in the Western Hockey League. So where I'm going with this, Rod, is as excited as I am that they're coming back, it's a foregone conclusion in my mind that there's going to be significant, not just losses, but damaging, significant losses. Take 72 games. Well, I guess it's not that anymore. It's 32 home games that they were supposed to play.
34.
Take out your...
It's a 68-game regular season.
34, so. You're right. I'm sorry. Multiply 34 times 20, okay? And 2,500 seats in most of your arenas. And then subtract that number from maybe 1,000, if they're allowed to have that many, times half the number of games, times 20. Look at what the spread is between those two numbers. Not to mention the fact that corporate sponsors are probably not going to be lined up to write the same level of checks when they know that there's not the same volume of fans.
As you roll, I'm just going to sprinkle in my own. Don't lose your train of thought. Yeah. But that's why I talked about this yesterday, how the sports isn't going to be the same when we come out of it. And a lot of the sports operators think that it will be. It's like we want to get back to what it was before. It'll never be what it was before. And that's what you're saying.
What
right?
I'm saying is the losses by these teams in the WHL this year.
Yeah.
I don't see how it can't be like, oh.
I know, but Ron Robinson... He was on here yesterday,
yeah,
Ron.
I know.
But last week he had a conference call or a Zoom conference with the reporters, and he said no teams are going to fold out of this. He believes that, and when Ron says it, I trust it. Of all commissioners, man.
No, I love Ron.
Yeah, like you, he's,
I consider Ron a good friend.
Yeah, so do I. He's a good guy.
Great guy. The best.
So I thought teams would fold too, but he says
I don't know about fold. But what I'm saying is, like, I mean. So let's say, and I'm going to just, by the way, I'm making up a number here. So I don't want people to say, well, Kelly Rempel just said the Moose Jaw Warriors have $1 million in the bank. I don't know what they have. It's close to that, though. But let's say that you've got $1 million in the bank. And in one season, when you're used to profiting $100,000 or $200,000 a year, you lose $500,000 or $600,000 or $700,000. It doesn't put you out of business, but what it does is it just sets you back so far. Didn't the Swift Current Broncos just announce an $800,000
loss? Just under.
And that's with a full season.
Had nothing to do with a pandemic.
Yeah, and so...
Yeah.
I'm so glad that there's going to be hockey to watch. No doubt about it. But... I just hope that the financial fallout isn't just like almost a hole that they can't dig themselves out.
But let's just morph it over to some of the other leagues, because A, you've talked to a lot of the same people I do and you hear the same thing. It's just sports. So your career's over. So you lose your job. Big deal. Go do something else. That's what I hear so much. And I don't agree with it for a second.
Neither do I.
But people are saying sports aren't important. And I just shut up, right? I just don't. At this stage of my life, I'm not interested in arguing anymore. So people are losing their jobs. So in the case of the Pats, people basically quit and weren't replaced, right? But in the CFL, you saw a wave of layoffs. So for them to play, I've been saying this since day one, players play, coaches coach, marketers market, salespeople sell. So there's just going to be less of them. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
And I'm not saying that it was necessarily too hot, top heavy at one time, but I'm glad that these kids got to play. The players have to play. It's what they do. It's not a pastime. It's an industry. But our viewers have heard me go on about this for months. You see what I'm saying, though? But them playing is better than not playing.
From an entertainment standpoint and all
from
that?
From a business standpoint, too.
Is it?
I think if they don't play, they run the risk of just... That's when they run the risk of withering up and dying. Because the other major leagues are playing. So your attention and dollars just go to them. That's what I think. And where do you put the CFL on that?
It's same. Because the CFL are right on the verge of collapse as it is now, too. I mean, we live in a place, it's almost a little bit like COVID. There's some really, really, really nasty stuff. We had 60 cases here yesterday. That's nothing compared to when you're living in some of these other places in the world. So we're sheltered from it. We think everybody must be a football fan. No, they are here in Saskatchewan. You go out to Toronto or Montreal or Vancouver, and I hate to even say it, but even look at what's happened in Calgary. It's flames, 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 24-7.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
All it is. The Stampeders are an afterthought. You and I have friends in the media there. The program directors are begging them not to talk about the Calgary Stampeders. Nobody cares. It's nothing but click, 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 click. Every time you talk about the Stampeders, all people want are the Flames. So even markets like that, we've seen Labor Day last year.
Can I stop? I'm sorry. Just, I got a call last night from a guy. Beside himself, that the Stampeders are such an afterthought in Calgary. That they're not even, just what you're just exactly saying. Yeah. And so they're owned by the Flames, Calgary Sports and Entertainment, whatever they call it. So that's a good thing. So they just get pushed to the back, and they're not... Like, there's a lot of people in Calgary that think we need to get the Forzanis owning them again and the local football guys that have money, because at least they care.
They make it a priority.
And they'll run it right and make it a priority. And in Ottawa, well, the Red Blacks, different thing. They're part of a corporation, but they lead the corporation. So where are we going with this?
Well, it's an interest... No, I just feel that, you know, the conventional wisdom of people is that yes, there are going to be losses, but the risk of not playing is far greater than the risk of playing. And I look at it a little bit differently. If the risk of playing means that you're going to lose three times as much money as you would have if you just didn't bother playing at all, and that that the volume of losses is just almost insurmountable, then I almost wonder if it's not worth taking a year off. Now, there's no right, by the way, there's no right or wrong. We don't know the outcome, so it's impossible.
It's your opinion, you're saying.
Well, I hope I'm wrong, is what I'm saying. I hope I'm dead wrong. But I think if junior hockey goes this year, and it looks like it's going to, when these teams start reporting their losses at the end of this next upcoming season, I think I want people to remember that maybe we should have thought this thing through a little bit more. Now, in saying that, Ron Robinson's forgotten more about the numbers than me. He's a lot smarter guy than I am. I would never try to pretend like I know what he knows. I just know that, well, I don't know, but I am thinking that the losses that are going to come out of this for all of these teams is going to be drowning. Drowning. And then you got to go back and say, did we do the right thing by playing and taking on those kinds of losses? There's going to be losses no matter what you do. There's no money to be made this year, no matter what you do. It's how much are you willing to lose just so that you can play the games?
Yeah, but is a sports team any different, really, than a restaurant or a car dealership? Because
it isn't. But if you were a restaurant owner and you said to yourself, okay, I'm going to have to pay my rent no matter what. But I got two people in my restaurant yesterday, and the day before that I had three, and the day before that I had four, and the day before that I didn't have any at all. Maybe I'm better off to just not open for a little while than I am to open and lose 10 times the amount of money that I would have if I just wouldn't have opened.
Well, and that's,
I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah, I think we're on time with timing. So I was in a restaurant on the weekend, and just on that point, the guy said, well, the lights are on. He goes, we're not making any money. It's just about trying to pay the bills. And I relate it to sports. But he goes, the government's not helping us out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's clear. So
that's true.
I had a train of thought, but we're supposed to break. No, so we'll take a break and we'll come back. And I want to get your thoughts on the CFL and Ambrosi's reported threat. Okay?
The 25 grand?
Yeah. We'll be back. You're watching the RP Show, Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Oh, yeah. He's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Having a great discussion here today. Phil Kershaw writes in. You know the great Phil Kershaw, yep. Former president of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Ottawa Rough Riders, and chairman of the Board of Governors of the CFL. He says, great points, Kelly. Agree, if the WHL doesn't play, it's not like junior hockey will disappear. But to his point, if you run up a huge loss, how does the Swift Current PA Moose Jaw survive? Valid point.
Well, it's not
good
even
for you.
Them, it's everybody.
I just want to do a sports update here. The Tampa Bay Rays and LA Dodgers are ready to kick off the World Series. Game one of the best of seven goes tonight in Arlington. It'll be Clayton Kershaw going for the Dodgers. Rays counter with righty Tyler Glasnow. The Carolina Panthers have closed their facility for the next 2 days after receiving an unconfirmed positive COVID-19 test. Meanwhile, the Buffalo Bills don't have much time to dwell on their latest setback. They lost their second in a row against an AFC contender last night, falling to visiting Kansas City. The Bills have dropped two straight after opening the season 4-0. Buffalo has another short week as they face the Jets on Sunday. NASCAR driver Chase Briscoe has earned a promotion to the Cup Series. Briscoe will be the replacement for Clint Bauer in the number 14 Ford at Stuart Haas Racing, the team co-owned by the driver's childhood hero. This sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Drive-Thru Liquor Store at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua and Regina. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G Protein Bars, the best you'll ever have. Now with seven amazing flavors, they've added almond mocha. RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RP Show. Order yours now at g2gbars.ca. Before we delve into the Randy Ambrosi debate and the threat of fines to people leaking league info, can I just have a fun discussion with you? Because that's not a lot of fun. Okay. Your thoughts on Connor Bedard as a 15-year-old playing at the World Jays this year for Canada?
I just can't see under...
Pull your mic in.
I just can't under any circumstance seeing him being good enough to do that.
Really?
No. I mean, there's no way a 15-year-old could play at that level of hockey. No way.
But he got exceptional player status.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. That means he's probably going to be as good as most of the good 16-year-olds on the... He can play in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the elite of the elite of the elite of the elite group.
Is it? Alexei Lafreniere's not going. He's the number one overall pick, and he's only 18. So I'm saying there's a spot there.
So there's the 20 best junior hockey players in Canada. You think he's one of them at 15 years old?
No. No.
So that's... I mean...
By doing what's right... Depends, isn't always what happens.
But what would be the, like, what's the payoff?
I'll tell you what, if you asked the Bedard family, they'd want to play. Guaranteed.
But he's not good enough yet.
How do we know?
He won't. Well, that's right. So then how can you say the other that he should be there if you don't know? I'll eat
give
my
him
words
a chance. Continue.
No, I'm saying, okay, well, we'll give him a chance, but he's not going to be one of the best 12 or 13 forwards available to play this year at 15 years old. I don't know if it's ever happened, ever.
I'm just saying it's not the best, because Alexei Lafreniere is the best, and he's not going to be there because the Rangers aren't sending him down. That's all. And I don't think McDavid or Tavares played at 15 either, but I'm saying it's a weird time. So, and the kid's been playing with a junior team in Sweden, as you know.
But before any of us say that he should or he shouldn't, shouldn't we let him play? Shouldn't we, like, watch him play a game or two before we sort of, any of us make an opinion on something like that? Like,
well, apparently he's that good.
Well, we'll see.
DuPont said he would be the first to ever play in the World Juniors without ever having played a major junior game. And I thought, well, there's an opportunity to be the first. It's exciting to me.
You could invite him to camp. and see what happens.
I think you start there.
But
for sure.
I just, it's not that he's not good enough in terms of like his skill might be, he might have the most skill of anybody there. But that doesn't make you good enough to play on the team. If you're outweighed by 20 and 30 and 40 pounds and you're just not physically strong enough to do it, like there's a big difference between a 15-year-old and a even a 17 or an 18-year-old, much less 19. I just don't, it's just not a practical, for, to me, it just seems so highly improbable that it's not probably worth.
And I'm sitting there. And I've been around this game as long as you, almost the exact amount of time.
Yep.
And he's playing in Sweden now with juniors that are older than him. I don't know how he's doing. He's practicing only. But Connor Bedard is the only junior player in Canada doing interviews with Mark Masters and being featured by TSN right now. So it's different. He's different. Clearly, yeah. he wouldn't be out of place. So let's give him the shot. That's all that I'm saying.
Well, we don't know that because we haven't seen him play, right?
Yeah. Well, let's put him in camp and you and I go watch. How about that?
Sure.
Graham Swinnerton, regarding the comment by Ricky Ray last hour that Dwayne Mandrusiak should have been given the opportunity to go out on his own terms after 49 years with the Eskimos, punted. Graham says, if there's no football, what would Mandrusiak do? From what I read, he will be invited back when football resumes. I talked to him. He's not going back. So I don't care what you read. Fake news. You got to be careful with what you read and follow nowadays. But there's a good segue to the CFL right there, Kelly. What do you think about the threat of fines by Randy Ambrosi for league info getting up?
Well, I always firmly believe that even though there's an insatiable appetite for the media to want to know everything that goes on, it's not really our business. It is for some of the stuff. I don't know why they're so tight-lipped about some things. I'll give you that. But I do believe that on the really, really important stuff, you know, that loose lips sink ships, it's true. You can't operate your... I mean, Phil Kershaw would know this. I'm sure Phil's still watching. You just can't afford to have, you know, board of directors or owners that have loose lips going around and sort of telling people, especially the media, things that are supposed to be kept internally and in-house. Now, that doesn't translate to everything. There'd be some things where it's like, well, what difference does it make if the media know about this or about this? It doesn't adversely affect the way we go about our business. But there are certain things that, and we don't know what he's referring to specifically, but there's obviously things that are getting out there that's infuriating the guy, because everybody leaves a conference call or a Zoom meeting with the absolute bond and pact that we're not going to talk about this, guys. And then there's people calling his office saying, yeah, I just got off the phone with one of your presidents, I won't say which one, and telling him everything that was talked about in the meeting that everybody agreed we were going to keep a secret. And he's probably had enough. That'd be my guess. You know, without knowing what we're talking about specifically, it's hard to kind of know how to answer that question. But I do think that there are times where commissioners get very frustrated that guys can't keep their mouth shut.
Of course.
Stuff is not for everybody to know.
Well, Justin Dunn might have some more intel on that, but I would suggest this. You should just assume that it is going to get out there. So go about your business that way. Is that fair? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it is. I'll give you an example of the type of a thing that I've heard over the years that frustrates media, but I being on the inside, and I won't give specific examples, but let's say that a coach is fired or a player is released because he did something really bad, like the kind of thing that you don't want people to know. It's an HR issue, and he gets fired. So then the media say, well, why'd you fire him? You don't have a terrible record. You don't have, you know, like your team is not doing any worse than the last coach, probably won't do any worse than the next one. Why is he fired? And the team says, well, we're not going to talk about that. Because there's an agreement in place with lawyers saying that you can't talk about it. And frankly, do you want it getting out that your coach was involved in something like that? It just soils everything. It just poisons everything. It's better off kids, too. They get into trouble sometimes. So if a junior hockey player does something with involving somebody that he shouldn't have been doing. Do you stand up at the press conference and say, well, you know, the reason that we're getting rid of him is because, and you start airing all of that dirty laundry. But the media get mad at that and they say, well, fine, then I'm just going to bury your ass in my column because, in my opinion, you fired him for no reason. Okay. The fact that I'm not telling you the real reason that we're firing him, that's got nothing to do with the wins and losses. But the media say, well, then if you're not going to retell us what happened, then I guess you get what you get. So I get it. But
It's pretty simple. I think that, as a matter of fact, I know teams could and leagues could really benefit from a little PR consulting, okay? Because I know this, whether it be my own information that I want or don't want out, or me being on the other side of the podium and me wanting to report on this, if you simply say it's a legal matter, we're not talking about it, most people will drop it. And if the media is going to be jerks about it, they're going to be jerks about it. Not everybody in the media is a good guy or gal either. And interesting point from Phil Kershaw, again, he says, again, Kelly, you're right, the governors need to keep their comments within the room. CFL in tough times doesn't help to wash your dirty laundry in public. No, but the CFL's got so many problems right now, and I struggle with it because I love the CFL so much. But an American football guy yesterday said to me, like when I say American football guy, he's in the States. Down south, he goes, the CFL looks terrible that they didn't play. It's like everybody else really found a way to play, but the CFL couldn't. They're handling on a day-to-day basis right now a PR nightmare as it is. And do you not think it's a little ironic that a rash would report the threat of fines? Do you think Randy wanted the threat of fines to get out there? So it's very clear that there's no way they can stop the leaks. They can't.
Well, they can't. Okay, let's put it this way. I bet if a couple guys get slapped with a $25,000 fine, when that happens, you'll see guys tightening their lips, or at least, if nothing else, being more selective about who they give the information to.
Yep.
I just personally don't believe that when people are in a place of business and people make mistakes and they do things they shouldn't do and they get fired for that. It's not everybody's God-given right in the world to know why they got fired.
Right.
Sometimes the best thing an employer and an employee can do is just say it's a matter that had nothing to do with football or whatever. It was a human, it was a life thing. And this person crossed the line in a way, and we're not willing to discuss it, as an example. Or, you know, sometimes you're dealing with legal issues, player contracts. You're dealing with an agent. There's a lawsuit. There's what, you know, there's all kinds of things that could be going on. You don't have the benefit of the doubt. It's not an option even for you at that point when there's confidentiality agreements in place to just start spouting off about it. But guys do it all the time. So I hope a couple of them get fined 25 grand, to be honest.
Wouldn't that be something?
Well, I would hope they would.
Well, that's why, by the way, Justin Dunk coming up in 5 minutes, he'll have an interesting take on this. Wayne in Victoria, BC is watching. He says, I think the CFL is not talked about very much in the offseason as it is. They need more positive news in the media right now. I don't necessarily know what that news would be. Chris Bird in Toronto is watching. He says, this is exactly what I was referring to. I'm sorry, Chris. You had a lot of thoughts you wrote in today, and that's good. But what were you referring to specifically? This is where I have a problem, and I don't think I could operate in the framework, the climate of what the CFL and the Rough Riders, for that matter, and certain teams do. They just don't want to be public with anything. And I'll give you an example. Over the last few years in my time with the Rough Riders, in the offseason, it was like pulling teeth to get interviews with them. You know Tom Robinson. Yep. 20 years ago was the chairman or president of the team. And I remember, I used to be around these guys all the time. Tom said, we brag at league meetings that we're the only team in the CFL that's, there's a story in the paper about us every day in the Leader Post year round. Well, I knew that that worked here in this province. So I was trying to talk in my talk show every day about the Riders. Get a guy from the team on at least once a week. And I've got the team calling my boss at the radio station telling, like, what should I say? Telling on me or ratting on me, saying it's the off season. These players and coaches, they deserve to have an off season. Why is Rod getting, why is he asking us for interviews all the time? It's the off season. We don't want to be talked about. I'm not joking. And then I get my ass hauled in.
That's crazy.
And I get read the riot act and said by the station manager, the writers say that you're just doing that for your ratings. Why are you doing this? I'm like, do you want to say that out loud again? You're the manager of this place. Isn't this what we should want? But they didn't want to do the interviews. I've been in the league meetings. Ask anybody where the top of the top said, we want to go dark. We have a plan here to go dark for 6 months in the offseason. And I can't. When you talk about Jerry Jones this morning on Dallas radio at 7 a.m., ESPN National, Kelly, broke away from programming and went to that radio to carry Jerry Jones' interview because he was on the air at 7 a.m. facing the music. You can't be Jerry Jones without doing everything that Jerry Jones does. Be visible. Do the interviews. They just want to hide. This isn't new, by the way. And that's why I can't go along with it. And I probably told you this back in the day. My feeling was I can't be on the air every day for a few hours and say nothing. Sorry. Give me something. But they don't want to give anybody anything. That's the climate now.
So what would be an example? Help me understand. What would be an example of the type of a thing that, in your mind, that they're keeping from the fans that they shouldn't be keeping from the fans? Like, what would be an example?
Currently or all time?
Like, right now. Like,
I don't know and I don't care. Maybe plans for 2021. I'm just reading what I'm seeing the fans say on Twitter. Can you give us an update? What's the plan? Like, I know there's news going on. They talked about internally whether they were going to examine a bubble concept for Edmonton next year. Then they decided they're not going to do that. In my column on the weekend, I quoted a source that said they're positive there will be a season in 2021. Like, Kelly, there's news going on. So don't pretend that you're not doing anything. That's it.
Yeah, but isn't it a foregone conclusion that they're talking about all of
no,
those kinds of scenarios?
No, people think they're doing nothing. You know that and I know that, but the fans think they're doing nothing.
So there are people that think that Randy Ambrosi goes to work every day, doesn't take a call, doesn't make a call, just sits with his feet back and watches soap operas during the daytime, and they're not being proactive about putting a plan in place.
Absolutely.
So he should call a press conference and say, okay, everybody, we're putting a plan in place. Any questions? What's the plan? We don't know. Next question? Like, that seems silly to me.
That's totally fine. And I'm not saying the commissioner needs to do a news conference every day or do interviews once a week. But just be visible, Kelly. It's tumbleweeds across this country. Come on. Except for just a few of us talking about the CFL, there's nothing. And that's not good. Especially when some teams are sending out their season ticket info in the mail right now for next year. Why would you buy tickets now, right now? What has you excited about the CFL for next year? And yet you're asking for money. Come on, I know you better than that. And Chris in Toronto, by the way, says I was referring to conversations between governors that need to stay under wraps. There's other stuff that the league could talk about publicly. That's what
true.
I say. That's what I was saying. We don't need to hear from the commissioner every day, but there's got to be some news. Well, yeah, I'm going to break and come back with Dunk. All right, it's the RP show. You're welcome to stick around.
I'll stick around if you want me to.
Okay. It's the RP show you're watching on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Laid back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Chris in Toronto, a comment from him. He says, good show today. I think I'm getting almost as worked up as Rod. I'm not even getting worked up today. Certainly not compared to other days. Brett Taylor, CFL fan, says sometimes the CFL forgets they're in the entertainment business. They need a weekend in Vegas to see what building excitement is all about. Unfortunately, Vegas is closed. All I'm saying, Kelly and I are arguing different things, but everybody wants to be Jerry Jones. He's the mecca of what everybody aspires to be in pro sport or sport in general. And Jerry was on the radio today at 7 a.m. in Dallas explaining how his team crapped the bed last night because Jerry's visible. So everybody wants the good things about Jerry Jones. They don't want to do the crap things that Jerry Jones does. He's visible all the time. ESPN talks about the Dallas Cowboys every damn day. He understands, good or bad, at least they're talking about us. And teams and leagues don't see that. That's all that I'm saying. Now, let's bring in Justin Dunk and Kelly Rempel here. He's got some questions for you, too, I'm sure, JD. How are you today, Mr. Bodog?
Doing well, man. Line them all up. Let's knock them down. I'm with you on the CFL front, man. They have to get used to being in the news cycle, positive or negative. You'll want to have your sport talked about.
Have I completely misread the situation, by the way, that the CFL prefers to be silent and not talked about right now, or have I misread it?
No, I don't think you've misread it at all. That's exactly what's going on. The comparison I would make, for example, and it's just one franchise, but in Hamilton, you have the Tiger Cats and Forge FC. Obviously, the soccer club played in the Canadian Premier League Island Games, and anyone you asked for to interview from the club, you would get right away. But when it comes to the Tie Cats, that is more difficult, it seems, to get anyone to talk, at least on the record, if you ask for them, because there has been a moratorium of sorts, let's say, come down from the commissioner's office and Randy Ambrosi to not say anything that can be deemed even slightly negative or against what the league is trying to do from anyone that's employed in it. That's why the fine memo went out from Ambrosi's office.
Yeah, take us inside that, by the way, because there's a lot of conjecture from our viewers today, and I see the comments on your site on this article, people saying, what specifically is Ambrosi referring to? Is it any inside league info or specific info to the plan for 2021?
From what I was told, the memo that was circulated to every team throughout the league was also backed up by a group Zoom call that every team was on, and it had to do with recent general managers meetings and president's meetings and board of governors meetings that Ambrosi does not want that information leaking out into the public. Clearly, it's gone out for a number of reasons. Top among them would be there's a number of people on the other side are disagreeing with the direction that Ambrosi wants to take. They want to go for 2021. But yes, you're on point. It mostly has to do with their working plans and where they're looking to go in 2021.
So what do you know about 2021? I mean, there was the bubble report. And listen, I firmly believe they talked about it. That was my report. Edmonton's being looked at as a bubble city. But then they moved on from that. What I was told was that's off the table now. But they are positive there will be a season in 2021. What do you know about that? Do we expect changes in large gathering restrictions in this country? How will the CFL look in 21 if they are this positive and confident there will be a season?
The league wants to instill confidence around the country, and especially among its fan base, that there's going to be a season in 2021 of some sort. So at least we have that to loosely, let's say, rely upon right now. From what I've heard, they're looking at a number of different scenarios or have discussed possibilities. Obviously, first and foremost, they would like to have a vaccine and get back to full and packed stadiums, but they're at least discussing or looking into the possibility of many scenarios. So if you can't have full stadiums back like it used to be, then socially distanced would be next on that list. I, like you, Roddy, had heard about the backup plan, let's say, of playing in a hub. There was even a two-hub city scenario discussed. And I think where that came from was they looked at what the NHL did and how they were able to get clearance from the Canadian government and the health authorities, especially, that could be a blueprint for them to follow. So a number of different scenarios are on the table that they're discussing, but obviously they want to be able to play with full crowds.
Now, Justin, it's just an observation on my part as I'm trying to digest a lot of this. Maybe the solution could be as simple as this. If the commissioner did every second Monday, I'm going to do a press conference. You can ask me whatever you want. I can't be guaranteed that I can give you all of the information because I can't talk about things that I'm not supposed to talk about or I'm asking others not to talk about. But I'll take your questions. I'll answer the questions as best I can. It'll give the media the opportunity to ask me. And if I can tell you, I will. If I can't, I won't. That would probably be better than just going week after week with absolutely nothing. Would that be a fair compromise, do you think?
It could be one way to do it, and I see where you're going with that. The issue to me has been with Ambrosi is when you ask him a direct question, you do not get an answer. He does not actually answer the question that is put in front of him. So, I mean, I can only speak for myself, but by and large, it sort of proves fruitless to ask him a question without getting a real answer. Anything of substance is what I'm talking about. And I can understand that he doesn't want the details of their meetings to get out there. But you look at all of the other leagues, and pregame shows right now for the NFL stand out to me because they're playing. You have Adam Schefter on ESPN, Jason Lacanfora on CBS, and Jay Glazer on the Fox pregame show. And a lot of those segments people are tuning into because they want to know what's going on behind the scenes, the inside information, what's cool, what's being talked about that is not being widely reported. That's why those guys get paid millions of dollars to have those jobs. So I would say that Ambrosi needs to understand that it's a positive, whether or not you view it as a negative. And I understand being in that position is difficult, and none of us have ever been a commissioner. But I think that's the issue here, is that it's positive for the CFL to be being discussed across the country. Now, whether or not Ambrosi makes himself available, you know, once a week or every couple of weeks to sort of do a town hall, I don't know if that's going to have the impact that you're kind of looking at, unless he's going to provide direct answers to what's really going on and what's being discussed.
It's a great point, and he needs to be advised on that. But the problem here is Farhan and Naylor, and you know it yourself, Justin, you and I've talked about that. If that's who you want to go through, that's fine. But you can't lie to those guys. Somebody clearly lied to Farhan that everybody was going to be in Winnipeg September 15th, right, and we're going to be ready to go. Somebody lied to him. You can't have that. Somebody lied to Marty York to say the government funding's going to come through. There's going to be a season. Made Marty look like an absolute dolt. And he was just going by somebody on the inside that he trusted. So you know what? I'm kind of sitting over here on the media side saying, you guys need to get your act together over there and be honest. That's where I stand on that.
I would totally agree. And I think, you know, for the masses out there, and we have following at Three Down Nation that, to be honest, I'm very lucky to have, and we are to have, I should say, the group of us. And some people like to throw around loosely that, oh, well, rumors are reported as facts, Roddy. But you and I well know how hard it is to develop and cultivate trusting relationships so that when I do segments like coming on your show or writing all the articles that I do on Three Down Nation, it's factual information. Arash Madani gets pitchforks thrown at him all the time for people thinking that he hates the league, when in actuality he worked in it and loves it and wants to see it thrive. That's the reason he's so hard on the league, is because he wants to see what he views are the errors corrected. And I would say the same thing. I grew up playing Canadian football. I played at the Canadian University football level. I pretty much spend 24/7, 365 covering the league in what I feel, and yes, it's biased, but is the best way possible, and have the league being talked about. So until the masses out there can sort of understand that what we put out there is not just rumors and hearsay, that there is validity to it and it's what's going on behind the scenes, I think that certainly needs to be corrected. And your point is well taken, that when other people are being lied to, that means they're going to have to be more careful going forward who they're getting their information from and if they can actually rely on that source or sources.
You and I view things the exact same way. That's why it works so well. Now, to other fun stuff, if there is any, what else are you working on? A lot of Claypool coverage there, a lot of Chase Claypool coverage. What, you know, what do you got cooking at Three Down?
There is. So I'll get to Claypool in a minute, but I feel like the story that sort of got buried in a Friday news dump was Ed Hervey departing the BC Lions. And I've been working on it over the weekend to try to get, let's say, the real story out. And I'll play a little game with you guys right here, right now. Go search for Mike Riley on Twitter and see if his account pops up. It does not. When was the last time that Mike Riley made a public media appearance? with you guys, Three Down Nation, or anyone else, especially out in Vancouver? Well, I can tell you it's been a number of months. So you start putting the clues together, and oh, by the way, we're in a pandemic, and it seems hard to me to believe that someone making $300,000+, yes, there have been cuts on the football side, would walk away from that money on a guaranteed deal for the 2021 season. So that's all I can tell you right now. I'll give you those clues, and I'm working to get to the bottom of the real reason of why Ed Hervey is no longer the general manager of the BC Lions. And as for Claypool, he's been an absolute stud. We've had wall-to-wall coverage on him. He tied Randy Moss for the most touchdowns by a receiver in the first five games of an NFL career in league history. So that guy is absolutely blowing up.
Well, let's have some fun with that for a second, because you saw Benefield trolling the media, saying now is when the Canadian media will get on this guy's train. And some of our buds, Danny Austin, I think Naylor, said, well, we were covering him last year. Benefield's referring to high school. Benny's been on this guy's train since high school. Now, granted, he lives there in Vancouver, right? So David's been watching. But at what point did people realize that this guy is this special?
It had to be for me when he scored 10 touchdowns in a single high school game. That's really the point where you say this guy is a man among boys, and there is no doubt that he's going to be at least an impact maker at the NCAA level and give him a shot to perform in the NFL. So I would say, though, making that jump from high school to the NCAA and then doing it again from the NCAA to the NFL is hard to predict, because it's obviously only about 1% of football players that ever even get a shot in the NFL. But for me, you could tell that during that four touchdown game against the Eagles, when they were using Claypool out of the backfield as a running back and lining him up in the slot, various positions that you don't see rookies being put in. Normally in the NFL, if you're on offense, it's one position, learn that, and then we'll see what you can do down the road. But the fact they're using Chase Claypool in multiple ways shows obviously how smart he is and his playmaking ability from the jump pretty much in the NFL.
Hey, lastly, you really got people going, which you knew that you would with the Ed Hervey Mike Riley report. Now, Arash dropped something here a few weeks ago that Riley, there was an issue with him being paid. So do you want to just, are you directing people to Three Down on this? Are you saying that Hervey stepping down had something to do with Riley? What exactly are you saying, or have you said as much as you'd like to say?
What I will say right now is keep it locked to Three Down Nation. I'm working on putting the full comprehensive story together, and I definitely do not want to speak out of turn. Obviously, as a journalist, you want to do all the proper protocols and go down that road. But those are the clues that pop up to me, is you have a general manager that steps aside on a Friday afternoon, which is a perfect time for a news dump, and everyone out there acts surprised. But then why the timing of it being on a Friday afternoon late when everyone's sort of getting ready for the weekend? And why is Mike Riley not on Twitter anymore? Also, I would add to that, again, he hasn't done any media out there. So when you pair that up with what you said about Arash Madani, there are some questions that need to be answered that I'm working off, checking all of those boxes. So keep it locked to Three Down Nation. Hoping to have it out as soon as I can.
Okay, well, thank you. And by the way, Mike Riley adorns our desk every day. We'll see it when we go to the wide shot, but he has been phenomenal promoting that BC Lions team. He's been lockstep with them, so I can't wait to see your article. Justin, thanks for this, my friend. Let's do it again soon.
You bet, fellas. Stay safe out there. Enjoy the snow, eh?
Yeah, thanks. Three Down Nation's Justin Dunk checking in from the Hammer. Dupes will join us for overtime next. Hang on. It's the RP Show you're watching across North America on Game Plus TV Network. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
And Dupes is here and our whole crew, and that includes producer Clark, of course, the Hound Dog, Director Jordan and Ryan Baracco, our technical producer.
Rocco.
Where's Paul? Normally he shows up at this time of day.
About now, but a minute ago, he's usually rolling in.
Yeah. I'm just going to cover what was covered here today. Maybe check the poll results, if you don't mind, for Capital Automall, Universal Collision Center. And the poll is, which is Canada's game of the week in CFL Sim Week 20? If I had a vote, which I do, just like the rest of you, I have one vote, I would have voted Winnipeg at BC. Must-win game for Winnipeg, and should they win at virtual BC place, they will take over the final playoff spot. But no, 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 no. Riders Ticats is leading a rematch of the 2013 Grey Cup. 51%. But it can be caught. Viewers of other CFL teams besides the Riders and Ticats, retweet that. Get your friends to vote on it. I'd like to see the Bomber-BC game. And then, of course, speaking of BC, the news that Justin Dunk just dropped. Now, hang on. Viewer Jeff Kozak says, "Don't miss Rempel. I was looking forward to listening to his views today." Go back and watch, and in just a few moments, you're going to be able to slide back and watch, because Kelly had some... We didn't agree on everything, but he thinks WHL teams would be better off to not play this year, period, and come back stronger next year. He thinks it'd be a better business proposition. I don't agree. Kelly's run more businesses than I have. Coincidentally, neither of us still owns those businesses, but that's another matter.
Yeah.
We equated it to restaurants. There are some restaurants that have closed and aren't opening until the pandemic's over. Yeah. There are those that are just trying to squeeze out a small profit to pay their rent and keep the bills going and have something to do. And to Kelly's credit, he didn't say that he had all the answers, and I'm not saying I have all the answers. It's clear that nobody has the answers because we've been faced in a once-in-a-lifetime situation here. But anyways, there was that, and the CFL stuff, Remps, it was must-see TV, must-see radio. Speaking of, here's one thing about this show. We talk about how we operate, personal touch with the viewers. Had a guy DM me last night and say, "Hey, Rod, there's something wrong with your podcast. The guys, you guys are talking faster than you should. It's sped up. Does anybody else complain about this?" And before I went to you with it, I said, "Hang on, where are you listening? Is it Spotify? Is it Stitcher? Is it Apple?" He goes, "Just the podcast app on my iPhone." So I went in there, looked at it, and I said, "Oh, bottom left of your screen, there's a thing you can tap to speed it up. Did you speed it up?" He's like, "Oh, yes, I did." So that is personal touch that we'll take care of right there for you.
Yeah, personal touch, which can be an advantage. I know people will do that. That's why the option's there, to speed it up. So you can consume more content in a shorter amount of time, as long as you can...
stomach.
As long as it doesn't sound like the chipmunks.
Listening to the chipmunks, yeah. Personal touch. And then lastly, Bill's watching in Assiniboia, where you can hear the Rod Peterson commentary daily at 9:50 a.m. and 5:20 p.m. on Cat Country 98. Bill says, "Three down, Dunk continues to be a very interesting fella. Love his comments and reporting." I don't know if you saw that or not, but he was reporting that there's something that doesn't pass the smell test, the sniff test, with the BC Lions, the resignation of Ed Hervey, and why Mike Riley's deleted his Twitter account. And although I talked with Lions personnel 2 weekends ago, this did not come up. And I have no idea. Like, Justin was literally, he wasn't trolling, but he was sure teasing very well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a guess on what it could be? Because it would literally be a guess.
It would be that, just that. It would just be a guess, and I don't really want to venture one right now because I don't know what it could be, right? It would just be a guess. I'd just be fishing.
And I guess what we did spend a good portion of the show on today while Darren was in the back office crushing his business thing is just the annoying perspectives we have on what's going on or not going on in the CFL right now. All I'm saying is there is news going on in the CFL. I know it. But by following the mainstream media outlets, you wouldn't know. Because nobody's talking about it. I'm like, how you said it last week. There's always news. So I think the news should be reported on. The music should be faced. And there's people in high positions that don't agree. They could not disagree more with my take on that. So it's probably a good thing that I got my show over here and they got their thing over there, because we're never going to agree on how to go about this.
Even think about the teams. Like, I know we only want to be seen in the best light. We only want it to look the best.
Yeah.
You know, and that stuff for sponsors is important. You know, you want to know that fans are coming and going. Well, in this community, if the Riders are doing great, they're doing wonderful. It's not that much pressure for me. They don't need my support. They're doing great.
Right.
If they're struggling, now you can galvanize the community. Let's all support the team, support the community team. Now there's maybe a little more interest in me buying tickets. Now we're the underdog again a little bit. Now I got to dig in and really support my team, right? It's not such a bad thing to have negative pub out there. It's not a bad thing.
Right. Ask Jerry Jones.
Ask Jerry Jones.
I've used that example.
Us against the world.
Multiple times. So, yeah, that's the difference between how I view things and how they do things. And I don't think we're ever going to agree. Let's do that. We're done.
Yeah.
Okay. Tomorrow, Mike Abou-Meshrick in studio. That's going to be great. Dustin Nielsen from TSN 1260 Edmonton. Matt Dunstone from the great Team Dunstone. What a weekend they had.
Oh, huge.
Vaderstad SAS Super Curling Series. And our director of scouting, Craig Smith, to talk NFL. It's going to be great. Thanks to our guests today. Vote on the polls, including rock star of the day, Ricky Ray, Kelly Rempel, or Justin Dunk. They were all great. Great job by Clark lining it up. And we'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain tomorrow on Game Plus TV Network and right here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.